Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Summer house.
Y'all, I'm back here. It's Poods here. I'm back. It's Reality Gaze, of course. I'm back with my friend and yours, straight man who should be gay for everything he covers. Ryan Bailey from So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Yay!
By the way, I'm not proud that I'm straight. I'm not a proud straight man.
You better be glad we're letting you on this show. I'm just gonna say this. I was thinking about this. As on the show called Reality Gaze, there's been a straight man, Kyle from Kyle and Kim. There's been Mary Payne, who she could go either way, really. She is a straight woman, but come on.
Yeah.
She wouldn't flinch if she saw some gay sex. She might clutch her pearls. and then we have Ryan who fits. Like, checks every box that a gay man would want.
I'm even confused why I'm not gay. Believe me, I would. And by the way, if anybody ever, like, I've had this on my DMs a lot too, of like, listen, girl, like, or like a girl will be like, just between us girls. And like, so I do get talked a lot. I do get talked like I'm a gay man. And like, which is totally, by the way, my best friend, like, that is a huge compliment for me. There's like,
my best friend is gay. My father's gay.
Show me your boobs. How do you like that? Yeah, no, it's really, because a lot of these shows are really like, they are women and gays, gay man shows men and women shows. Like, these shows belong to them, but these are always the shows from day one that I've loved. And I couldn't tell you exactly, but I found like an outlet through podcasting to be able to talk. And there's so many great people that like them too. But I was watching this 16 years ago and I was married at the time and my wife didn't want to watch it with me.
Right.
I was watching this by myself.
It was something you might as well be in the lifestyle except for dick sucking. Which is totally fine. You know, we'll allow you to be here.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing
respectful.
Your gay venue with me. Yes.
You know what? You may, as long as you can get in there and do some snaps. And if I ask who's got the biggest dick in the summer house, you immediately have an answer and don't blink. Sierra.
Well, yeah, and he just FYI, before we started recording, he told me to gay it up a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
That was offensive.
Well, I did say, like Jake from Below Deck, hopefully you can wear a thong this episode.
How do you know I'm not? You can only see me from that, like, but I feel like I'm glued to my bed. Like, I've got like such a podcaster's body now. Like, it's like, this isn't doing. Like, I'm not in the greatest shape of my life through podcasting.
None of us are. I have tried during the pandemic to kind of, and I, to an extent, I've tried to stay active. But like, the only way I've found to do that is by forcing myself to invest in things that I hear my mother's voice. God, you spent all that money, Jay Bird. You might as well use it. So it's only through guilt and signing up for things that I don't really want to do, like Pilates classes, or I've got with a trainer, I told my trainer, if I try to cancel on you, ask me the reason. And if I say, if my reason sounds like made up. And if I argue with you one time, you tell, get your ass up here and I'll see you.
I really am of that nature. Like if I sign up for an exercise class, that's all you need. Like that gives me, it makes me feel good. Like I feel like I did something. Like I don't want the actual class. I want to get to the point where I feel like, you know what? I'm going to do it this time. Like the class is neither here nor there. It's just the signing up. That's the hard part.
That's the hardest part. But yeah. I will say, and I'm not someone, and I got a Peloton this past year, like everyone. And I was someone who didn't love, I like exercise when I'm, as soon as I'm done with it. My trainer once called me, you're almost an athlete now. And I was like, oh my God, did you just call me an athlete? Oh my God, I'm an athlete. And my trainer's like, I didn't say you were an athlete. I was like, fine, I'm going to hear athlete.
My roommate has a Peloton and like, I do the classes, but like, you're right. It's like afterwards, I'm really happy with myself. But during like, I flat out like curse out Jess King. I'll be like, shut up. Stop with the smile. Why are you looking at me like that?
It's not that I don't like her. I find it hard because she makes me work so hard and it looks so easy for her.
Oh, they're not even breaking a sweat. And Cody Rigsby has like a full on vagina monologue the whole time. Like he talks the whole time. I'm like, I can't even catch my breath half the time.
You have to get used to Cody Rigsby talking. He's not always my first choice, but if I'm going to have fun, I'll choose him. Usually we talked about my pilot for Salt Wives in the last episode.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I love women who are most of the time over 40, 50s-ish women. I love Christine Dercole. She's my favorite.
Is that the one with the really muscular thighs?
Yes.
Yeah, she always tells you, these aren't dancer thighs. Or like she'll always be like, I had her the other day. And she's like her because she's a little – she's like I said, she scares me a little like the actress we were just talking about.
Frances McDormand.
But like she does like kind of sometimes look at me and I get scared.
She looks right through you. Yeah, that's why I like her. it's something about her. She's a bike racer and she looked at me one time and I was like having a hard time and she looked right in the screen and went, "What if you can?" And I went, "Oh God, what?" exercise. I've had an uneasy relationship with exercise my whole life because it's gym class. I was the little boy who couldn't do anything because I wasn't coordinated enough. I'm like, put me in music class where I can do good for all things. Yeah.
I did show choir. That was like my exercise.
Of course you did. God, fag.
I love doing, by the way, show choir was always so stupid because you'd do like Stevie Wonder, like very superstitious running on the wall. Like it was always the whitest thing you've ever. And we would like just ruin poor Stevie Wonder's 13-month-old
baby.
I love it.
Yeah, show choirs don't do songs with the lyric. Is it 13-month-old baby? I feel like.
That's her. Billie Jean, not my lover.
She's just a kid. Matt has gone on extensively about his show choir experiences.
Oh, it was called Step on Stage. I have a sparkly blue tie and cummerbund. And I used to think, like sophomore year of high school, I was like, I'm pretty badass. And I was like, no, I wasn't. You know,
what percentage of those boys have gone on to become interior designers since then?
Well, my one friend, Brian, who like, you know, he came out after college and he's now like a musical theater person. He does like Broadway play, like musicals and stuff. And like, it was wild. Like it was really that whole crew. Like I saw so many people come out through the course of my high school experience being in the theater department and the show choir. And it was like, I was just like, once again, though, I was like, I was always just happy to be around, you know?
You're like, when's it my turn?
Yeah. I was like,
am I never going to be special?
God, why don't I love dicks? You know?
You know what? I will say it's an acquired taste, but once you get there, once you get there, it's kind of hard to give up.
You think it's like a, like there's like a gateway drug element? Like if you start smoking crack, like you're going to love it.
When the first time you think about it, when you're kind of like looking, the first time you, first of all, it's obviously as a boy, you're not ever thinking you're going to go through life sucking dicks. There was one, there's one moment where the guy first takes his pants off and you're kind of eyeing it. How do I do this? How do I? But then after a while, you just take to it like a horse. It's just, you just get on, and you and the horse know what to do, and you and the dick are just communicating.
Oh my God. So it's like a foreign language that the more you put into it, the more
you and the dick only speak. Yeah. You know, it's like parcel tongue.
I was talking about losing my virginity on the pod the other day, and it's, you know, obviously it was in the back of a Chevrolet, and
all of them should be. Yes.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of why you get one, but classic. It was like, it's still to the, like, I remember going into it, like knowing, like, I'm not an idiot. I know that this thing goes in a hole, but still, like, it's still like, I was like, but how, like, what, like, no. If you've never done it, you're like, but how is it gonna, like, what if I, you know, you just don't understand that. And then it's there and it's fine. But then I remember after that first time, all of a sudden I like forgot again. I was like, oh my God, I didn't really clock what I was doing. Like, I didn't really clock what I was doing. I didn't write anything down.
I didn't write the steps
down. That's what I'm saying. And then you go, oh, okay, this is so easy. Like, but it was so funny. Like the worry that and most guys probably aren't like that, but the worry that went into that first sexual experience, like I was just, and then I remember it was like the Chevrolet and like it was like a tattered back seat. And I remember like the
this
stuffing.
Is so romantic already.
Right, stuffing of the car was coming out on my knees. And I remember a piece of like car stuffing, like was attached to my hip. So when I took off my
beautiful
pants,
story,
I came in and my dad was up like, what, hey son. And I was like, oh my God, I wonder if he saw that I just lost my virginity. Like, I wonder if he was like, who the fuck is that man coming into this house? And
the smell of mildew from the car. It all blended together.
Oh my God. And then I bought her flowers the next day, but
God.
Yeah. And then she
you are a romantic.
She was not into it. She wasn't. I thought I was in love, and then it was just
Ryan, don't you know the way to get a girl into you is to ignore her?
No, I do. Believe we don't know. That is, I have so many friends that are girls, and that really does seem to work. Like if you treat a girl like shit, they really seem to respond to that.
I'm
like,
that
so
girl.
Well.
I'm
like,
that girl.
But I see. I was always the guy that was like, I don't understand. Like, do you realize they're treating you like shit? Like, do you? Why? So you like that? And I could never bring myself to do it because I would try to be mean, and then I would feel bad like an hour later. You know? Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, if you can gaslight me and make me feel super special one night, and then text me, and then you can gaslight the shit out of me, love bomb me, or at least affection bomb me the second date, never speak to me again for like 4 weeks, Mom, you're going to be so up in my fucking head.
Yeah, and that's the love of your life.
You're going to live rent-free. I've already pictured us and our two French bulldogs. That's how I'm not as bad as I used to be, but that used to be the way all you had to do was ignore me. And then I was just like, now it's to a thing of, I want to be with someone who I can have a good time with, who I feel like I'm on a level playing field with. And I always tell people now, people who are dating, I'm like, here's the thing. Find someone you can tolerate. That's someone you can spend time together, tolerate. But I say on the podcast all the time, the notebook isn't real. The romantic,
oh, yeah.
The
oh,
romantic
yeah,
fantasy isn't real.
And by the way, I love that I'll say that defensively. Like, you know, movie love doesn't exist. You know that, right? Like, I'll always be defensive about it. Like,
but you're
you know,
I kind of want it. I kind
of
want
no,
it.
No, of course. Like, I grew up on Say Anything of John Cusack with a boombox over his head. Like, I grew up on movie love and TV love. Ross and Rachel from Friends. I grew up on these things. And unfortunately, life is sometimes – like, I remember going on a dating app for the first time, and I said what I did, I was like podcasting at the time, and I, but she was like, oh, let me listen. And I was like, oh, no. I'm just really silly and goofy on podcast. Yeah. And I'm talking about shit that most guys don't talk about, you know, right. Like, she's like, oh, I found it. And, the next day she was like, I listened to your podcast. And like, I'm like, oh, cool. You're still talking to me. Shit you not. She unmatched with me. So, hey guys, please check out the pod if you're ever I took that personally. Like,
that by the way,
that still flashes in my head of like, wow, like what episode was it? What did I do? You know,
people ask me when I say I'm a podcaster, they're like, what? Oh, what's the name of your show? And I was like, This American Life. Yes. I'm like, you may have heard of it.
New York Times, The Daily.
Exactly. Sometimes Armchair Expert. You may have heard of it.
There's no way to present myself as cool when I say I would almost be better off just saying I'm an actor and then just leaving it at that.
Oh, that's the worst thing to say. But you're right. People say, and I'm like, when I try to tell people what I do, they're like, oh, what do you podcast about? I'm like, reality television. Well,
My parents, like, they're like, some of our friends listen to you. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'll see them at like the holiday parties and they'll always be like, hey, I listen to you. But it's never like, you know, I love it. It's always like I checked that out.
You should be ashamed of yourself, yeah, like, boy.
I'm doing you a favor by not telling your parents what you speak about.
My sister-in-law will listen sometimes. She's like, we listen to you guys sometimes. I'm like, really? And I think, did I say anything? I never really say anything bad about them, but I do my mother on the podcast. But my mother says, I don't have time to listen to a podcast. I'm very busy.
My parents come on my podcast, and I've talked to my parents more honestly on their interviews on my podcast than I ever did in my entire life. Like, the mic gave me the courage. I don't even know what. Like, I found out about their first like sexual experience together, I bet, which was just horrifying. But like, the mic turns on, and you're able to just like all of a sudden like ask anything you want, and then the mic goes off, and then I'm back to awkwardly interacting with my parents.
That is so true, because we interviewed my mother for a podcast with Nikki Levy, Don't Tell My Mother, and my mother was supposed to tell. She kind of was playing a part, but she kind of wasn't super vulnerable. But like, and I felt like it was like a truth serum. And I think that's the thing about what people love about podcasts is when the microphone comes on, then it just becomes about you talking to someone else. And it's kind of hard to bullshit your way through things.
That's the most exciting part of the podcast. Yeah. I think it's like 6 months in also, I really started like, I know exactly who I'm speaking to. Like, totally. You know, like you really start to like actually know these people and you're like, oh, I'm just really the big, I'm the one that's talking all the time in this group. You know, like I'm just the one monopolizing the conversation, but I know who I'm speaking to. Also, I made my mom read the WAP lyrics by Cardi B online. She had no, she was like, what does WAP mean? Like,
Oh my God, your poor mother.
Yeah, I know.
And she just went, oh, I'm not going to do that.
She goes, Ryan, Ryan.
You're like, what's the one who always, was it Bam Margera's when he made his parents do things?
I hope I don't turn out like Bam.
Is he still dead? Is he still alive?
No. Like he tried to be in the new Jackass movie and they wouldn't let him until he got sober. So he's like suing all of them. But like, yeah, I grew up on Bam Margera. He would like run into his parents' room in the middle of the night with cameras.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I was like, that boy's going to go crazy one day. That's me as a child, but it's always in a voice like, hey boys, want to play something?
Get away, faggot.
We always say that there's always be a show called Little Poodle where I go, hey there, does anyone want to hear me talk about Alfred Lord Tennyson or something? And people are like, no. I'm like, okay, I'll just go read by myself again. Oh, well.
By the way, like that really was my childhood in Kansas was I just read books in this one chair when I was a kid.
Ryan.
I remember my dad going, something's wrong with him, Becky. I used to play stickball outside. And like, I would never go outside to play. I would just read books.
I was an indoor child. And then when I was forced to go outside, I would take a book with me.
Oh, yeah. And I remember bringing in fifth grade, I had the hardcover version of It by Stephen King.
Of course.
And I remember being made fun of, like, it's like a 1,000-page book. And for some reason, I needed to bring it to school with me. And I would just get teased mercilessly for this.
I would read books. I've already talked about on the podcast how my mother would say, Jay Bird, do you read another book about the Holocaust? You read another book that you get at the library? She's like, maybe not this time. And she's like, oh, what is that one about? The Roanoke Colony? Good Lord. What do you think? They just went away. That's all you need to think about. I read books about like mysteries or horrible things to try to understand how the world, like I've talked about this before. I was obsessed with why the Holocaust happened as a child when I found out what it was.
Normal childhood things.
And I kept reading books and books about it. And my mother's like, that's it. No more books about the Holocaust, Jay Bird. No more.
Oh, mine was nuclear war. Like, yes. I was fascinated with nuclear war, and I thought we were going to be in a nuclear winter at some point. And, like, this is, like, fourth or fifth grade where I was, like, I remember asking, like, my teacher, like, what do we do if a nuclear bomb hits? Like, where
you're
do
trying
we go?
To sort it out for yourself.
Yeah, I live in Kansas. Like, I'm like, what is – and I remember as a kid thinking, like, Kansas is kind of the heart of America. It's, like, in the middle – it's, like, in the little middle right. And for, like, I was, like, if I would hit Kansas first. Like, so I always thought we were about to like get attacked at some point. I was just like a weird kid.
Little that you know, Kansas wasn't even on their radar.
No, that's the only time I did go outside, my mom had like a big witch's cape. And so this is like, I shit you not, like sixth or seventh grade, way too old to be doing this. I created like a superhero persona where I had like a whip. Like a whip that I'd gotten Silver Dollar City, a witch's cape, a mask, and I would run around this place called the Trails in Kansas, like right by the, and I would like spy on like kids, and I thought I was like a superhero.
Sounds like a creeper. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, well, you know, I only served like a minimal sentence for all of this, and it's like I'm good now. No, but it was like, that was like, to me, being a superhero was like kind of like a job. Like, I was like, if I work really hard, I could be a superhero. Like, for me, it was like a job prospect, you know?
Yeah. I it's interesting what we now imagine, what we did as kids and how everything kind of led here. And I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, I think there's waves of both. Like, it's like a good wave. Yeah.
Y'all, speaking of waves and making waves, it is Summer House and it's back. We're in season 6. Where's my lover, boy? And y'all, we're meeting there's two new cast members. I assume Luke is going to join us sometime.
Yeah, Luke's in Minnesota. Yeah.
Minnesota. We've got all the old reliables. We've got Kyle, who apparently is like 65 now.
You can sense the tension in Kyle at all times.
Oh my, I think, cause even on Winter House, I feel like he didn't know how to relate because he wasn't King of the Hill anymore. And he didn't know what his role was on the show.
He was getting rope-a-dope by Austin and Craig. And then when he went out in Winter House and saw like four people making out in the jacuzzi, he was like, I used to make out in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, and I find him interesting, but I'm more worried about, like I said on the previous episode, y'all, this became, the last 10 minutes became like a really scary, like Jenna Rollins film.
Under the influence,
or like whatever happened, it's very Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf or something. Like, I'll tell you what, Richard, I'm gonna do this.
I'm sorry for having fun.
You know what you are? Who does this? In what world do you break all my stuff? We're not going to any fucking therapy.
And now, then you see the polar opposite of Carl, 6 months sober, skin looking better than ever, just looks like a king. Like, I mean, Carl almost makes me want to get sober, you know?
Okay. Carl, Carl Radke, for me, will still be the hottest man on reality television. He is just there. Everything about him is a huge penis. And three balls, we already know.
Well, the three ball. I feel like we always skip past the three balls, but like, sit there and think about that. That's like I feel like that she's like, that's a 90 day fact. He has three balls, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. Let me just break it down. We usually have two balls. He has three.
He's already a superior race.
Yeah, like that's one extra ball. And if you are a fan of somewhere else, he also let a guy blow him once.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
And that keeps me going. Yeah. When I'm having a bad night. But there's something about Carl that even when he's not looking bad or he's not looking his best, I'm just like, oh my God, I would beg for it from you.
Hey, like, come on, what would be the approach for Carl? If you could just like get like, you know, one shot, like
It would be, I'd have to establish like a really, I'd have to establish something really flirty with him. And we both have to be drinking, obviously. But we would have to be flirty, and I'd get him very comfortable. this sounds really kind of gross. Yeah.
But have you poisoned him at this point? Has he got
it? Sounds like then I'd roofie him, but no, I think you know what it would be. It would have to be so non-sexual. We'd have to like talk all night. Yeah. And we'd talk about our fears and our dreams. And then when I'd already decided this is not going to happen tonight, he would like take me in his arms and like just kind of kiss me. And then we would bang it out in his bed.
I love that you have one shot. What would you do? Well, we would just talk normally and then he would kiss me like that. Yeah. You would like... You're actually doing nothing. He just decides to kiss you at one point because you got.
Yeah, because he's so really into me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I trust my charm and my kind of getting people to where I know how to get people's walls down. But I think I think it'd be harder because he does. It seems like he does prefer to sleep with women, but it may take a little time. To make him thinking it's okay, I'm just a person. So that's where I would go.
Yeah, like you're like I'm more of like think of like Che Diaz and think of like all you know just different kind of. Well, I
but a lot less annoying.
But I will say though, like last season, Carl started making his bed every morning and drinking. Like I started making my bed, but I was like, shit, that guy gets up. He's like, the first thing I do, I make my bed, and I'm like, I got to start making my bed. Like, I want to be more like Carl. Like, you know, like I really admire that guy.
I think he's really changed his life around. I'm surprised he did this season. I guess it's more good stuff for Loverboy, obviously. But if you guys, spoiler alert, currently it has been confirmed that he and Lindsay are dating, which I don't know if
they're knocking boots.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing because I love Hub House. I love Lindsay, but
one of my favorites.
She is truly reality TV gold. And for the first, when I first started watching Summer House, she annoyed the shit out of me. But she grew on me so quick. And I got Matt into the show too. And he's like, oh, I can't stand Lindsay. By episode 5, Lindsay was his favorite.
Dude, she was one of my favorite interviews I ever did because she got tipsy during it, and then I made her. She went and found the thing like last season. It was like you know her year and like her next couple of years, like married with babies. God, yes. She's like, oh, here you go, and she like held it up, and I was like, yeah, I was so excited.
And I'm gonna get married, and then I'm gonna get activated. With Carl though,
like they I'm so happy that they found each other, or they're like deciding to really go for it. But it could either go so perfectly and amazingly, or it could go really badly. Like, I mean, and I don't want to be negative, but like, imagine, you know, Carl's totally sober. Lindsay has a couple drinks, gets loose. Like, I don't know, you know, I want to believe in everything, but like, just we've got to give it time, you know?
Yeah. And to me, my first thought would be Carl's pretty new in his sobriety and maybe dating someone like Lindsay who does like her drinking. And when she does drink, she gets a little wild. But I have hope, and I'm just glad that they're friends first. And they do care very much for one another. So I feel like if they did break up in the future, they'd still remain friends. So
yeah, well, remember when, because they tried this a couple seasons ago, but like they never had sex. He just finger blasted her on the bed. And like, and then they're like, did she do anything to you? No. And like, I was like, I always tried to, it was like, it's like the little person from 90 Day. I was trying to imagine like, so what's that situation where Carl totally fingers her on a bed and then nothing happens for Carl?
What's the,
you know?
What's the football plan, the football play schedule? That's the, okay. I've been talking to straight men too long because that was a sports metaphor.
By the way, you're talking, I do not know sports at all. So that like totally fell on deaf ears. Yeah.
That was, I said something like that to Mary Payne the other day and she's like, don't know sports. And I was like, okay, good. So then we have a new Kyle and Amanda. We talked about before. They've been engaged for going on 35 years now. But it's all the same usuals. We have Sierra, we have Paige, we have who else? Hub House, Lindsay, and Danielle. I'm still surprised Danielle wants to do this show. I feel
Danielle is the most well-adjusted person, and that's why she gets very little screen time. Because Danielle, you have to have Danielle because Danielle was an ally to Hub House. Because last season you had the Paige, Hannah, Sierra, potentially Amanda conclave. So Danielle is essential when Hubs was like by herself on an island.
You're exactly right.
But now, but also I think people really genuinely do because we do worry about these characters as they get older. So I found my place where at first I was kind of bored by Danielle the first couple of seasons. And now I'm kind of like, wow, look at her life. She's really, she's
look
a
at her
mom.
Go.
She's look, she brought snacks for her bedroom. Like I was, I watched it. She like put hid chips on her dresser and I was like, yeah,
the old girl. She's got her acid reflux medicine. She's all good to go.
And the girl and the new people are like what? Maya and Adam, the bodybuilder.
Maya and Alex.
Andre. Look at my huge dong in my boxer briefs. Hey,
now, I've got to say, he is. It's interesting. I think he's a very attractive man. But his modeling.
That's kind of you.
I'm being generous here. He's okay. I was talking about him being very good looking. A listener sent me his modeling photos. Holy shit. Bitch knows how to take a picture.
Dude, there's one shot that all my friends were like, all my girlfriends and guy friends were talking about was that one shot of him in his little underwear.
Yes.
And he's like, he's been out drinking all night. He has like a 30 pack and like his little tiny, like he's like when I wear boxer briefs, he's wearing teeny tiny undies because he's got like a huge, his huge junk around
he's
with 30
old
abs.
Dick. Yeah.
Like, by the way, I would beg to be on a reality show if that was me. I would beg. Yeah.
I don't think there's that much to him. But I think he's a good time. But I do think we see later on, you guys, that he was really hurt by Paige saying, I'm not really ready to get in a relationship.
We see him crying to Luke Gulbranson, who's not in this episode. But I can't wait for him to get there because he usually brings his guitar. And last season he was like,
oh, God.
Like he would sit, try to like.
Oh, we made up songs. We made up songs he would sing.
He came on the pod and I asked him to sing it on the pod. And then he was like. And then he was like too shy, but then like later he texted me. He was like, "I'm actually recording that song, so I would love to give it to you when it's done."
I was like, "Yes, man!"
But like he's like he's so good looking that people like it's like that dirty Bobby guy from The Hills, Justin Bobby. I love you. It's like
of course
convinced,
I know he that was part of my sexual awakening.
I'm sure, but they've convinced him that he can sing, and like I've seen his van, and it's like
he cannot sing,
but that's. Like, but when you're that good looking, you probably think you can do anything because anything you do, people compliment.
Oh, the level of a straight white man who looks like that, there's no reason to form a personality.
No, ever. Not at all. So, by the way, when Luke is like tapping trees for maple syrup, I'm like, good for you. You don't even have to do this.
No, what was he just not to ask too many questions? Was he putting on something or was he super normal? Or almost
what
too
is he putting
normal.
On something like
trying to was he feeling like he needed to put on an act?
No, or? I got the sense that he thinks of himself as a very deep person.
That's exactly what it feels like to me.
I think he was very shocked about the Hannah situation because I know women probably have thrown themselves at him. And he thought, well, we just touched, you know, we just kind of touched each other's privates. We didn't have sex. Right. I'm a good guy. Like, I think he was like so surprised about all of the hate he got and stuff. So he's, I think, a little shell shocked. But overall, you could just see like, oh, he seems just kind of like that, like a good doofy guy, you know?
Yeah. And I think he's always trying. I think he really does want to be a deep person. I think he wants to be perceived as that. And he worked a little too hard at that for Winterhouse because it was like, and it's going to be interesting to see his dynamic on the show, especially with Andrea and the new guy who Alex, I don't even know enough about.
He eats a lot of turkey, ground turkey.
two pounds of ground turkey. That house smells like protein farts. and Maya, who I have high hopes for, she didn't get a lot of screen time, but no. she's single after being engaged for 5 years. And
6 months single now.
Yeah, 6 months single. Yo, this is not a good idea after 6 months being single after a 5 year engagement. You're going to do, she's going to go wild or it's going to make her want to run back to her fiance.
That's good though. I mean, that should be, you know, like, and that's what the producers think. It should be fascinating to watch,
yeah.
You know, with that kind of, because you potentially could get a call to the ex or a call from the ex. Ooh, so she'll have to cry at some point about that. There's a lot of opportunities. And I think the Paige Sierra stuff, it cracks me up because there was a scene of them just in bed on their phones. And I'm like, wow. But I'm like, wow, like not missing Hannah at all. Like Sierra is so in that Hannah role where she's in the same spot that Hannah would be in the bed with Paige, but it's Sierra.
Flawlessly. Like, I you know those producers are like high-fiving each other because Hannah gave all of them so much trouble. We actually interviewed both of them. We talked to them. And Hannah had a really bad season last year.
Even I turned on Hannah because I had really liked Hannah before
that. We did too.
Yeah. But that's what we saw. Like, I got to be honest about what I saw. And it was like, she looked like she was trying to play, like she thought she was going to play people's in her favor. Like it didn't seem that. And then all of a sudden she was like messing around with three other dudes too. So it kind of undercut her whole argument.
And that fiance of hers is a nightmare. Boy, you talk about someone who is like isolating her from all of her friends. That's like a scary fiance. Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, she took it too far where if she had just started softening a little bit and the reunion, like she would have been there and you would have seen a potential redemption season.
Yeah.
But she just went so hard and then she started bad mouthing production, you know?
Yeah. That we all know that is when you get the axe. You can say the N-word all you want. As long as you go on Watch What Happens Live and apologize for it. And Andy Cohen says, yes, haven't we all learned? And then you're fine. But if you say one negative word about production or production making things up, you'll never see the light of day again on that show. We're going to take a quick little break and we're going to come back to talk about what happened on this show and some more SLC or Salt Wives later.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope.
Keep going, queens.
Okay, we are back. And y'all, apparently, for Summer House, y'all, they're like, COVID's over!
Yeah, all of a sudden they're like, oh my God. Like, I saw a packed restaurant, and I love on TV now, I get scared when I see a packed anything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. And I know they've all been tested and stuff, but like, what a wild thing. Cause then I feel like they have to get tested every day just to go in and drink rosé in front of people, you know?
just to be able to shout, send it in a restaurant, they have to be tested. So y'all, they're at dinner and they're asking, they're kind of getting to meet one another. And Alex wore his short sleeved hoodie for the occasion.
Loves his guns.
I don't have a lot of high hopes for him.
I just can't get a beat on his, like, but see, this is what I said this week. I said, there's got to be something a little dark with this guy or he wouldn't be there in the first place. True. You know how they always save something, you know, or in 90 Day Days is perfectly where they're always like fifth episode. But what he doesn't know is, like, we don't know what we don't know yet. Like, there's got to be something with him or he wouldn't have been chosen. So like, I'm thinking he has like an anger issue and we just don't see it yet.
Yeah.
There's got to be something. They wouldn't just put a bland person that works out a lot in the house.
I agree with you. It's not like Jessica from Below Deck or Jess from the third stew. from this season, where we were like, why are you there?
Even she was just like, I woke even up one morning and was like, I don't even know why I'm here. Yeah.
They're like, all of a sudden I was up on the boat and that told me someone told me to get a rag.
She's like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. I'm too old for this shit, you know?
Boy, poor Jess. So they are – everyone is single besides Danielle, who is basically in this marriage with the guy we saw her with, yeah. Robert. And I'm happy for her. I last season when we never saw Danielle do anything but work – which I think we see, you said it before, Danielle's the most well-adjusted of them all, and she takes Lindsay's side when she needs to, and Danielle had more to say. It was that kind of young girls against the older, not old girls, older girls, like Lindsay and Danielle.
But what reality star, like, goes to a summer house and, like, she literally, we really did just see her work all day, where it's like, I mean, like, I imagine her company, if they watch this, we're like, damn, we're proud of you, girl. Like,
I know.
Other than that, like, nobody, I mean, I would go on that house and just say, I'm just not going to work. Screw it. I quit, you know?
Like, Paige and Hannah would just, like, sit. They would do influencer shit down there by the pool.
Yeah, it was amazing. No, and I related to that, you know?
Yeah. That's what, when I do work, it's like me sitting at my computer, writing ads and recording stuff. I feel like that's work. So they're basically talking to Lindsay, and I think Paige asks, so how's Jason? If you don't know who Jason was, you didn't watch Winter House, but Jason was the guy who was a model but didn't really have a personality until the last two episodes.
He cooked a lot in there, and he was like an overall good guy. Like, he might be the male Danielle in some ways.
Kind of. That's a good way to put it. So that's why they're kind of drawn to people like that. But Lindsay was with Jason, and they got together at the end of Winter House, and they were dating off and on. We're going to talk about what happens after that in a little bit. I know, who knew Summer House never got this real this quick?
No, and that's why I was like, all these shows are like, just what the biggest lesson you got to take away from these shows is, don't get older. You know, like,
seriously,
just don't get older. and just like that, the Sex and the City, just don't get older. You won't have to deal with any of these issues if you don't get older.
Can you stop putting old people on television?
By the way, it's like, and just like that, it's scaring the shit out of me every week. Like, it makes being old look like the saddest thing that you could ever possibly imagine, you know?
And I don't watch it. And this is, I've said this before on the show, I've never seen a full episode of even the original Sex and the City as a gay man. Can you imagine? I know.
Are you sure you're gay though?
People have gasped. Like, I was an actual man, like, animal hybrid, and I just showed them my, like, deer legs when I said that I had never seen an episode. And I think it's because I always hated I watched like a little bit of it, and like the Samantha puns really got on my nerves, and so it was just hard to stomach. And I was never a fan I liked the Cynthia Nixon character, but I was just never a fan of the Sarah Jessica Parker character.
Well, she's gotten even worse. Like, it's wild.
And then it was like too deep in, and I couldn't just start it like in season three. And so I was like, oh, I'll go and watch it again. But with the way and just like that has gotten, I'm like, I think I'm out.
But you know what? For some reason, like, it is what I look forward to now the most each week, because
people
hate it so much. And I don't know when that changed with me or with all of us, where I now enjoy hating something just as much as I enjoy loving something. Like Lisa Rinna. I hate Lisa Rinna with a passion, with a white hot burning passion, but I need her on the show. I want to feel those feelings.
I think I've hate watched for as long as I've loved watched.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm just like, it's so funny that I'm like, it's like, you know, it's like when, you know, you taste something bad and you'd be like, this is horrible, taste this. And
yes.
Like, that's what I am with, like, I'll be like, oh my God, I hate this. I have to keep watching, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the way Real Housewives Salt City is for me, in a way. But especially now, because we hit that, we'll talk about this in a second, but we hit that height with the bus ride and the Sharest. And now we're in this weird, let's scream at someone. Who's going to be the person Jen screams at this episode?
Well, and the amazing thing about any of that is that she's in a cast full of people that let her do that.
Yes!
And then apologize to her for getting her screaming. Like, I'm so sorry you got so mad at me. Like, let's give you the big room in the house. Like, what? What is, like, I feel like I'm sometimes having a stroke when I watch Salt Lake, because I'm like, there's no way this is happening. Like, there's no way.
It's really a talent.
If you had a friend that got into your face like that even one time, you would seriously think I would be like, get. I'm a pussy, but I would like to think I would be like, get your finger out of my face, get it out of your face. Like, get, and I do not want to be around
right.
you. And like, Lisa's like, oh, it's okay. You should get the big room. You deserve the big room.
Yeah. That's why I will never, and we'll talk about it in a second, but Meredith fell so far for me since the beginning of that. I always liked Meredith.
I thought Meredith was the chicest, coolest,
yeah.
like really pretty, and
now I have a totally
different viewpoint.
Yeah, yeah. It's yuck.
But that's the other thing I love about all of reality shows is that we have to normalize loving somebody one season and hating them the next. You've got to be okay with it. You know, it's not like sports where it's like, that's my team through and through. Like, no, if somebody screws up on a reality show, you have every right to change your opinion each season.
Yeah, it's full on like Colosseum feeding Christians to the lions every time. I cry for their blood. And it's our basis instincts. So they're still out and they're talking to Lindsay about Jason, and she's like, is it kind of a thing where you don't want to have the first weekend, or you're really not really feeling him anymore? And she's like, a little bit of both. So,
yeah, because he's not there. Yeah, yeah.
So they're pushing her and saying, so Lindsay, Carl's like, so Lindsay, you want to be single? Is that what you're kind of telling me? She's like, fuck you, Carl.
Yeah, why are you coming for me, Carl?
You don't want to activate me. I'm like, please activate her. My favorite moments of the show is when Lindsay gets activated.
they literally put up like demon eyes on her. And it was like, but like, she really does turn just like that. And that's what we call range. Like, that's range.
And the thing about Hub House is it is 100% authentic. We as watchers of this show, our bullshit meters are finely tuned. And every time for her, she is feeling those things. And the other thing I love about Lindsay is when she's trying to understand something, you literally see the gears turning in her brain. And she's like trying to understand it.
Well, it's like that show Lost, where you get clues like along the way. But like, the biggest clue I got last season was we found out she was in the ROTC. And I was like, oh my God. Lindsay's a soldier. Lindsay is a soldier. Like, she like started like hitting people with her shoulder in that one fight scene. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And the other thing I want to give credit to Lindsay, and I'm not even joking, is that Lindsay will give any guy a chance.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a feeling Lindsay's going to hook up with the beefy one that eats a lot of hamburger meat.
Yeah.
Like, I have a feeling, like, because she wants to make it very clear to everybody, I'm dating, but I'm also single, and I want to have fun.
And this cooch is open for business.
That's what it is. Yeah. Jason was benefited from that in Winter House,
mm-hmm.
because Jason was the nice guy that Lindsay doesn't usually go for, but Lindsay will give any guy an opportunity.
That, and there's something beautiful about that.
I'm hoping to benefit from that one day with Lindsay. I do have a crush on Lindsay sometimes. Yeah.
I think she's very attractive, and we kind of put it out there that we thought we might want to interview her. And I'm thinking then she'd go back and listen to the show when we've said crazy things about her.
I recapped all of Summer House last season, and I got really scared about that. Like, I get scared about that with anybody, because I really say the truth. You know, I'm scared about, like, I don't want to ever speak to Noella on OC, because I'm just going off on her every day now.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's sometimes not worth it.
So you guys, she has this moment with Carl where she kind of screams at him, and everyone's like, okay, we don't want to activate Lindsay, blah blah blah. So then we're going out to the club. It's party time.
Carl goes home like a pro, man.
That's right.
He goes home, gets ready for bed, and everybody else, like, you know, and Lindsay goes home with them, but they don't even talk about it because Carl's like, I know enough not to talk about Lindsay, or, you know, it's not going to do any good now. And I was like, God, how amazing is Carl that he's not going to even fight with Lindsay until the next day because it's not worth it. But then the rest of them go out and party at the club.
Yeah, the rest of them are, and they're kind of trickling in, and everyone's home but Kyle, y'all. And if you watched, if you know what happened, you know, I'm going to say it's 2 seasons ago when they showed that clip, he cheated on Amanda when he was blackout drunk. And he said, and the excuse was, I didn't even know what I was doing. So
Schwartz does this on Vanderpump Rules too, where he gets so shit canned. And I then had a theory that he was just getting that shit canned so he could cheat.
Just so he could cheat.
Like, he's putting his body through like the most just so he can cheat on Katie, you know?
Oh God. So of course, Amanda's going crazy. And one of the things, it's hard to be Amanda because she's always the biggest adult in the house. She's always everyone's mom. She's always trying to referee fights between everyone. And so she has a big control issue with everybody in her life. And you saw her coming apart when she did not know where Kyle is. I guarantee you this happens a lot with them.
Well, she said, when the girls were in her bed, when she had called him 27 times, she said, it was so bad a couple weeks ago, Kyle wouldn't come home and my mom called a car service to take me to her house in Jersey. Like, that's dark shit. Like, that is dark. If you're, and I want to know also, like, how did they end up leaving the club without Kyle in the first place?
It is like, weird. My friends would have said, we need to get Poodle because he's not going to go home with, if Poodle's over in the corner making out with a Latin guy, nothing's going to go good. We need to go get him.
But in reality shows, there should be rules where it's like, yo, dude, we have a house full of people you need to hang out with. Don't hang out with your like summer loving bros. Like, you know, it's like guys I've never even seen in those clips. And he's just drinking rosé by himself. I'm like, no, you go back to the house and you talk to the housemates. You don't say we have a show, baby. You know,
it is really misanthropic. It's weird to like leave the house behind. You're exactly right. And you guys, so Amanda's losing her mind. She's calling, and we find out I was at a loss. We find out that what you said before. It's like we find out that she said, I'm thinking about if I call up the wedding. Because he can't control his drinking, he has to pay. We have a contract. He has to pay my parents back for every cent they spend. And you could see Sierra's face like...
In the night vision camera, you guys. Night vision
Sierra
camera.
Went, fuck. Even right. Paige, who normally has a great poker face, went,
yeah,
that's bad.
And I hate it because like I want... I like them. I don't want, but like,
they're the royal couple of the show.
I know. And that's like, I interviewed them this past week, but I hadn't watched the episode yet.
Yeah.
So like I had seen the preview and the preview is so dark for them anyways. So my first question was like, are you guys all right? Like, because I know they got married, but the preview makes it look like it's the most intense season for them. And by the way, we haven't even seen half the stuff that they showed in the trailer with them breaking up. So I just get scared for them, you know?
I honestly was talking about this with a listener. I think this is a starter marriage for both of them, especially.
But it's
for
like
Amanda.
The show's involved now, and like all of their finances and businesses in the show now. And I just and Kyle, yo, dude, like you got to wake up. Like he heard all of those what's been said about him. Andy grilled him on Watch What Happens Live because it's like. At this point, like if you're working that hard, you need to get that obliterated just to have fun. I mean, I love booze, but like that's an issue, you know?
It's now becoming, and this is whether it's not just, I'm not going to call anything an addiction that where someone won't admit to it, but like it's a problem with alcohol at this point. So, and it's to me, it would be getting Bravo PR involved saying, do we need to send you to rehab or so you need to, because this is endangering our investment in this because right now you're getting married and your couplehood.
Well, I asked him, I go, how are you keep drinking this much? I was like saying it in a nice way of like, you still like seem like you're in shape and all that. Like, and you can wake up early.
Right.
How do you do that? And he goes, well, you know, I've really started mainly just drinking Loverboy, and that kind of gives you a nice buzz and it doesn't get you too whacked out. And I'm like, okay. So like, you can just, if you
not
have
an addict at all,
you can keep drinking because it's Loverboy. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. He was able to plug his product as well.
Oh, I know. I thought it was kind of genius.
I don't, unless he really changes like a Carl change. I think it's hard because I think she needs way too much stability, and she needs to be able to, she needs someone she can put the pieces together and kind of mother. And he's good for that, but he freaks out about it too. And they're just so volatile. And
yeah.
Anyway, the next morning we have some, he does get home, by the way, like at 4 a.m. And
well,
the
she's
three
also
girls,
thrown his bags out.
Yes. Let's not forget about that. That is very George and Martha.
She's broken his like dop kit with all his like, and you hear glass breaking in the bathroom. Yeah. It was like amazing. Like, which by the way, I usually hate dramatic things like that, but it's like, fuck him. If he's done this before and she's called 27 times and he's not answering his phone at all, like,
it's awful.
You got to lay down the line, you know, lay down the law.
If I was her friends, I would say we want you to want more from him. We do, because this is, you need to ask for more. You can't be okay with this.
My greedy head was like, you guys have got to make it because you know Hannah's rooting against you.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know Hannah's like, so like, I want them to make it just to spite Hannah, you know?
Can you imagine if they had a really public breakup and what Hannah would say?
She would love it. She would love it.
So the next morning, they're kind of still not talking with one another. And they, Alex, of course, cooks 2 pounds of ground turkey. And then.
Wait. Also, he comes back from the gym. He goes, oh, good. My ground turkey's still here. Like somebody was just going to eat his ground turkey.
So I'm like, yeah, the other 8 of us had a teaspoonful and there's still a pound for you. So we did find out that Carl's talking to Linz and he's like, you know, sorry about what happened. And he's like, are you okay? She's like, cried myself to sleep. But she's like, what happened with Jason is complicated. And she's like, remember when I said it was either the COVID vaccine or my hormones? I was pregnant. I went to the gynecologist. He said I was 6 weeks pregnant. She's like, but then the day after I had a miscarriage. And it's just like, I never thought I would see Lindsay having this storyline. And it kind of, we're all of a sudden we're in 30 something.
That's a dated
reference, but oh my God.
No, I remember Michael and Ben. Yeah. 30, like it was very deep and it was very emotional because in a talking head, she said, of course I would have kept the baby. I've wanted this forever. I just never thought it would happen for me. And it was like so real and so emotional. And she, you know, said like got pregnant, but by the time like I even got used to that idea, the next day I was miscarrying. The next day I was in the emergency room and Jason was so sweet and nice, but I couldn't be around him. I wanted to take care of myself. And I just thought like, wow, that, and she didn't want to involve Carl even.
No.
Because she said, I didn't want to put that on you and I wasn't ready. And I just thought, wow, that, you know, we can make fun of Lindsay as, you know, people can make fun of Lindsay, but that's a strong woman, you know?
She is.
That's really strong.
And think, and you know what, if you know how Lindsay grew up, Lindsay's mom left when she was very young. And she's talked about it on the show all the time. So she's got major abandonment issues. And Lindsay's a successful person who's come through all that. Yes, she's a little crazy at times and she's a little clingy.
Yeah.
But she's great reality TV.
She really is. And I'm proud to like her because
she
then does have these moments like this. Yeah. And it gives it that foundation for us to actually like her for the right reasons.
Right. So, and we end with a scream fight between that that gives everyone in the cast a little bit of side eye when they're saying, you stay out one night, and she's like, he's like, I'm sick and tired, Amanda, of you not, blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny because Kyle normally has, he speaks in a tenor, kind of high voice up here. And he's like, I'm sick and tired of you.
Yeah, I fucked up, Amanda. I had fun.
So y'all, that's Summer House. I have high hopes for a good season. I had high hopes last season. It was shitty.
I loved last season. For some reason, I thought it was the best COVID season of any Bravo show. You know what?
That's a great way to think about it, because I just think it did not compare to previous Summer House seasons.
For me, it was like hit. Like, you had the sandwiches from Lindsay.
That's true.
You had her being crazy. You had Luke playing guitar in his undies just like randomly. You had the Hannah shit going crazy every week. I thought there was always something just so idiotic. That scene where Carl did start drinking after his brother died. For me, it hit like a lot of buttons for me. But just in terms of COVID, I was like, finally a show that's kind of figured it out where they did strap him in a house, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk just a minute. A soup song of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City with this episode. Salt Wives. So we had the great arrest, the bus trip and the bus freak out. Now we have another bus trip. And my question is, why are any of these women riding the bus anymore?
Well, I mean, two of them aren't. Like, I love that Mary's like, I will not ride the bus anymore. Like, even Mary's like, I'm out. But I will say it's like an amazing thing where I just imagine these producers are winking at themselves every time they agree to go in one of these things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got high altitude. You got them just like Summer House. They're trapped in this sprinter van. They're trapped. They got to face each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish they would just do a whole season in a sprinter van at some point. Like, I mean, because – I said this in there. I want unedited footage. I'll pay 20 extra bucks a month. Just give me all the band footage and let me make the show I want to make with it. But like, why wouldn't like you? I just want to see even the boring stuff of them just like looking off into the distance. Like, I want all of it.
Of Jenny opening another bag of Funyuns.
She loves snacks, Jenny. Like, you can say a lot of things about Jenny, but she loves her snacks.
That's true. But it was interesting. This was another episode where it was Jen screaming at Mary instead of Lisa, which was a little bit in the beginning of the episode. But yeah. Was there anyone? And this was the first time that Mary kind of got let off the hook in a while.
Yeah, because I mean, they kind of dealt with her a second with Whitney at the last dinner table.
Right.
But like, for the most part, it was like Jen came in so hot, with the Meredith stuff. And like, it was very interesting. It was one of those things. It was like a game of Clue or just like everybody's a character. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who to be mad at. Like, everybody's kind of gross in a certain way, you know?
And that's very true. And that's, to me, we don't watch a lot of the Housewives shows because they have so many seasons. But we kind of started with watching this because I like this Housewives iteration because everyone was so different. And you had people who were great, like Heather and Whitney to an extent. Whitney is kind of getting mired in with it too now. But
is that we always do her baby voice?
I like spiritual things.
Yeah, we're going to everyone be in a circle.
I do like the fact that she really did want, I want to share this with everybody. And like Meredith is just like, she's all like pilled out and can't get dressed in time. Like, I love the fact that she really like wants to get like, I want to share this special part of my life. And Mary's like, girl, no thank you.
I'm going to be there later. I've taken two benzos.
I mean, really, like, I feel like I would see Meredith like nodding off at some point, you know?
Yeah, she's on something. I don't know what it is, but it's something. Maybe it's Xanax. Maybe she's born with it.
It's becoming so apparent, though, that's like, it is, and the whole family is like that. The whole family kind of like, and then there's creepy Uncle Fingers Seth. Oh. That he's always like, oh, I love titties.
So fucking gross.
Right? Like, I tried to, like, I just don't. He's so weird, and now he's like so comfortable being like, he's like, I'd love to fuck your wife. Like, and like everyone's like, Seth is so funny.
Fat. You have to say it. Fat. The way she does. Fat.
Fat. Fat. Fat. And then last season, he was always like, I want you to come to Canton, Ohio. Canton. She, Canton, Ohio.
Okay. For the number one, she was definitely probably banging some other people, as Jen says. How many escorts was Seth banging on the road?
I mean, when we saw that picture of him, like that little thirst shot on his birthday cake, and I was like, he's like shaved chest, and I'm like, that's fucking sad, man. No. Like you're trying to go, you're trying to hit go with a young crowd.
He
you know?
Was he was on fucking Ashley Madison and shit. he's that person. He's gross. But
he's the Salt Lake Joey Gorga.
He is. Did you hear after the screaming match, and we finally get Jen, of course, gets around. She's like, but your son said something about my vagina. And I'm like, oh my God, we cannot be back with this.
I mean, like I've heard more about Jen Shaw's vagina moment than any other vagina in my life. And I was married, you know, like I've heard it so like I get shocked when it gets brought up still.
I must say, when they said it, I went, someone had to, no, you can't, we can't still be doing this. We can't still be doing this.
Well, and then because we actually have real things to discuss, and we're still talking about a vagina flash. She makes the Beverly Hills Housewives look like they grilled Erica last season, which they didn't. Yeah. But these ladies don't even have, they're like, well, I guess it was a weird coincidence. Okay. Well, anyways, you get the big room, Jen. Sorry about everything.
Yeah,
you're going
it is
they
that.
They just let it go. They let it go and they fight about stupid shit.
It's the show has, it's a shame because after I thought the first season of this show was great. And I was really looking forward to them. And they've got, I want to say they've got maybe 4 episodes before the finale or the tell-all. Maybe 3.
It feels like it's been a long time.
And then it's a 4-part tell all. So, we got another 4-part tell all with no Mary.
Do 2 parts a week. I can't have these take a month of my life for these reunions. It's like Beverly Hills almost killed me. It was like a month to get through the reunions. Then they need a reunion of the reunion because we've like spent a whole month on the reunion.
I don't do the reunions. I kind of read recaps for them, and then I just watch the looks. So Meredith will have on some kind of – she'll murder an Elmo to make her outfit this time. But everyone's already shown their outfits. And
I mean, and Meredith got universally hated. Like, I'm not into – like, I don't know fashion from – like, I'm an old Navy man. But, like, Meredith is – like got ripped to shreds for her outfit, which Brooks Marks picked out.
Yes.
And I just like, I wonder how cognizant Meredith is of like what people say, you know?
I don't think she does. And also don't hate on Old Navy because it is delicious. It is a wonderful fashion. I love a good Old Navy shirt.
Old Navy. And I'll even go to the website and see what they've put the models in and I'll buy the whole outfit because I have that. I have that little imagination.
Hey, I'm fine with that. So I'm excited to see what's the rest of the season. I want to talk about one thing that you also specialize in. What pop culture thing, because you talk about it on your show, what pop culture moment lives rent-free in your head right now that plays over and over again that's happened this last week or so?
Okay, so and this is in a hate watch memory now. Is that Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox getting engaged under a banyan tree? I took her to a banyan tree that we first saw. A banyan tree, and then Megan posting it and ending it with, and then we drank each other's blood.
And then we drank each other's blood.
And then like, you're so hardcore, girl. And then seeing the video that takes place from like 30 different angles, and he was like, yeah, it was just us up here. I'm like, who? It's like when Love After Lockup, they've sent like a one-person camera crew. So they're like telling cut and then like making the poor Love After Lockup act like who don't know how to act. And they're like, I just got to move the angle over here to see you coming out. Like, it is so ridiculous, these guys. I will rage against them forever because this is not rock and roll. This is sad. This is so sad. It's like she wore a shirt that said sex the other day. And I'm like, ooh, do you think they're having sex? Like, you know, it's so dumb.
That is so exactly what they're trying to be. They're trying to be rock and roll. Everything has a picture with him going, with his tongue out, and I want to fucking cut it off. Do we sound like old people?
well, yeah, 100%. But also, I'm not even talking about his music. I'm talking about what, like, they show up to an opening of an envelope. They'll go to anything, and they'll dress a couple. Like, so it's not like they're courting this press. Like, the way he was giving out press interviews about the ring, I'm like, yo, you're like, you sickening. You want this attention. It's so bizarre. I love Megan Fox in the one little vampire movie that she did Diablo Cody wrote.
Yes.
Jennifer's Body. I love Jennifer's Body. But at the end of the day, guys, she's the girl from Transformers. So we're going to really let that girl from Transformers is running the scene on romance and cool. Like, no, it's the girl from Transformers, guys. Let's calm down. And also, we've seen how this ends with people like Machine Gun Kelly. We've seen Vanilla Ice. They don't have the, I mean, by
there's
the way,
no
if
longevity.
I'm wrong. But like, think about pop culture. It always goes circular. Like, mm-hmm. there's also, you know, arguments that you say Pam and Tommy Lee, but Pam and Tommy Lee, to their credit, which I can't even believe I'm standing up for them, like, Tommy Lee literally did not give a fuck. Like, he was just fuck, I just want to get my dick sucked, you know?
And it was that idea of they were just unapologetic themselves and they were doing things. This feels like this is clout. I want to chase the press. You're 100% right.
I would predict in the next year we'll get some kind of, I don't know about a full sex tape leak, but we will get some kind of something with nudity in the both of them.
Yeah.
And it will be released from a third party source. Like, you know, it's the same playbook, you know, and that's unfortunately why the Kardashians are still as big and important as they are, is because
they were smarter about it, though.
They're the one running all the moves on pop culture. They're the ones and like, now they've like managed to get politics involved, NBA superstars, football players, musicians. Like, they have every corner of the market, of any market, covered by just the family itself and who they date, you know?
Kris Jenner is the savviest person alive.
She is, but I think it's just weird because we've never experienced like this in the day and age with social media. So I don't even know what happens from here. Like, I don't even know when, but like, at the same time, are we going to really have to tell Chloe she looks fierce for the rest of her life? Like, do we have to really, you look fierce. And like, it's like, even Meredith Marks, like, she posted I do a Facetune Bureau of Investigation on the show because she does a face where it looks like her daughter's face. She like Facetunes it that hard. And I just said, at a certain point, you got to put like advisories on these things because like, some of the best people in art are working right now and it's just on Chloe's photos. This isn't Chloe, you know, like, this isn't Chloe, and we've got to like stop encouraging shit, you know.
It's making Instagram culture like that is making women get eating disorders, young women get eating disorders.
Oh, I say that all the time. I have an 11-year-old niece, and my 11-year-old niece is not allowed on Instagram, but I'm scared of the day when she will be allowed on Instagram, you know.
Nice way to end our show.
Sorry, you guys don't know. Wait. Also, Jen Shah is guilty.
Jen
Shah. Jen Shah, though, she's literally distracting at every moment, you guys. She'll bring up her vagina just so she doesn't have to talk about the actual case. Like, preach. She's got these ladies. Like, she knows that Meredith and Mary don't have anything to do with this, you guys. No. She knows it. But she
That's
will
garbage.
Throw – she is a desperate animal clawing any way she can to get out of this thing. And I think it's kind of working, FYI.
It is. And after the show goes – after the show ends, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yeah. Shop's airing anyway. Y'all, this is Brian. Thank you so much for doing a Bravo blowjob with me.
My God, anytime. This is really, I hate the reason why I'm here, but I really, it's such an honor because you guys really are amazing. And the audience, thank you for putting up with me for two episodes. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I loved having you. Y'all, check us out on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast. Check us out on Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod. Where can they find you, Ryan Bailey?
So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey on Instagram, Ryan Bailey 25 on Twitter. And the podcast is just So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. It's on all the podcasting outlets.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And you don't have to listen to all of them. Just pick a guest you like or a pop culture roundup and just give it a shot.
Lovely. Lovely. Don't listen to Ryan Bailey. One other thing, we got live shows coming up the 28th and 29th of this month in New York City. New York City!
Get a rope.
Get a rope. Exactly. And y'all, the tickets are still available for Saturday and Friday. We have lots of tickets available. So we're also doing the Crappies. Watch What Crappens Awards on Thursday with Ben and Ronnie. That's available either virtually or also in New York City. So get those there. Ryan Bailey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.